This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
That it is, as always, presented by Progressive, and all guests on the Max Kellerman Show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin in for Max today on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and of course, on your smart speaker. Hey, LA, is there a problem with the Lakers that you don't want to talk about? 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Now is the time to get through. And I can tell you what that problem is that you may not want to discuss. What life could look like without a healthy Anthony Davis the rest of the way. You know, LeBron James is, as we know, amazing. But when you look at Anthony Davis and his situation with tendonitis in the Achilles, I just don't think for a minute that you're going to be able to put yourselves in a situation to win another championship. We still don't know exactly when he's going to come back, but it's not like that disappears overnight. And when you do get back, it's an injury that's completely healed and over with, and you're ready to move on and be at the top of your game once again. So if LeBron is there without AD at 100%, even having him on the court, but not being able to go 100%, can they win a championship? I just don't see it. Now, look, I'm never going to deny the greatness of LeBron and what he's capable of doing. We certainly don't need to go through any of that. But there's only so much a 35-year-old man, even as an incredible athlete as he is, can do on his own. You know, Tom Brady is 43. He needs a lot of help to get it done. He can get it done, but he had a lot of help and a very talented Buccaneers team. It's much different in football than basketball. I understand that, but we all know one thing. Championships are not won without at least two healthy superstars. And right now, that's not what the Lakers have. And I don't get the impression that's what they're going to have for the rest of the season. You know, I almost laughed yesterday when it was suggested to me that, you know, boy, they're really going to be going after that number one seed. Lakers don't need to be worried about the number one seed. This is a friend of mine who said it to me. The Lakers just need to be worried about being in the postseason and being healthy enough to really compete for a championship. I think it's completely unfair at this juncture of his career and completely unreasonable, frankly, to expect LeBron James to carry you to another championship. He's done it before, but he did it in Cleveland as a much younger man, not in this kind of situation. So if AD is back and he's 100%, that's great. That's not something I think you can reasonably expect at this point. The Lakers are playing in a conference that is just stacked top to bottom. Am I right now crazy to think that they're definitively not getting past the Utah Jazz as presently constituted? No, I'm not. Am I crazy to think that the Lakers right now are likely not getting past the Phoenix Suns? Likely. I'm not crazy for that. I may not even be crazy, even though the Clippers didn't play great before the All-Star break, to think that the Lakers are definitively getting past the Clippers. They've got problems here. They do. And they may end up in the conference finals because of pure will and grit from LeBron. But I just don't see where they're going to be able to get carried into the finals by LeBron James. At this age, it's too much to ask. It's not like he's done. But you can't ask him to do it all himself. Speaking of LeBron, there is the discussion around the MVP. He's not the favorite to win the MVP. Joel Embiid is the favorite to win the MVP. Joel Embiid is the MVP of the NBA. Make no mistake about that. He will be at year's end. He is playing at a level that is absolutely off the charts, and he is doing things as a big man consistently that, frankly, we have not seen before. His ability to take it outside, his ability to handle the basketball, really his ability to do so many different things on the court make him, you know, they called Kristaps Porzingis a few years ago a unicorn. Kevin Durant called him that. Joel Embiid's a unicorn. You know, not many guys have that skill. And the Sixers are where they are because of Embiid. You know, you can point to Ben Simmons and say, all right, maybe he's the defensive player of the year. Could be. Absolutely could be. You could point to the fact that when Embiid was out, Ben Simmons scored 42 in a game. That's great. Embiid is the engine that makes the 76ers go. And it's the biggest reason why the Sixers are the top seed in the Eastern Conference right now. He's number one. Number two for me, it's got to be the Joker. Nikola Jokic has been unreal this season. Are you looking at the numbers? Are you looking at what he has done for Denver this year? He is very close to averaging a triple-double for the Denver Nuggets this season. He has 32 double-doubles on the season, and I believe it's 9 triple-doubles on the year. He has been absolutely amazing. And you can look at the Nuggets, and you can talk about Jamal Murray, and you could talk about what effect Michael Porter Jr. is going to have in being able to put them over the top. But for me, Jokic is number two in the MVP race at the moment. And then number three is LeBron. I won't argue against his greatness. And let's not forget how visibly annoyed LeBron James was at the end of this past year in the bubble down in Orlando when they announced all of the awards and he didn't win the MVP. And he went on a tangent about it publicly, about winning the MVP and what it meant to him and the fact that he didn't. You know, this season, when you look at a player that is as vital to his team's success as LeBron, there's obviously only a couple that you could argue. I just argued two of them. I am a classic believer in the true definition of MVP. Who is the most valuable to his team's success? Now, under that rationale, LeBron could have 5, 6, 7 more MVPs than he actually does. But at the same time, you look at what he is right now and the level of talent that's around the league, and he's a little bit taken for granted when it comes to that kind of an award now. I honestly believe that. I think that people just look at LeBron and automatically assume, well, he's LeBron. He's going to get his no matter what. Yet, when he did complain toward the end of the year down in the bubble, he absolutely had an argument. He absolutely had an argument. If he were to be able to take the Lakers in the second half of the season to the number one seed in the Western Conference, I might argue that he should be the MVP. But right now, I'm still rolling with Embiid and then Jokic, with LeBron finishing third. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, Los Angeles. Are you more than a little bit concerned about that situation at the moment with Anthony Davis, with coming back healthy, and exactly what that will mean for LeBron James and the Lakers the rest of the way? A lot of NFL to get into as well. We spent a good portion of the first hour talking about Jerry Jones and the decision to pay Dak Prescott, and not really how that is the wrong decision, because it's not. Dak Prescott deserves whatever he can get. I've always been a player's guy. And when you're able to come up with that amount of money in a contract playing at the level that you are, that's absolutely deserved. You saw what the Cowboys were without him last year. And as we heard from Mike Tannenbaum yesterday, that helped him. The fact that the Cowboys were absolutely lost without him. That helped his leverage in this kind of situation. When was the last time that you could say that an injury truly helped the leverage of a player in a negotiation? It massively helped him. And the big issue here, though, is the fact that Jerry Jones has taken as long as he has to do this. You don't want to do it 2 years ago? Okay. You don't want to do it last year? You had the long-term deal on the table, and I understand that Dak wasn't taking it, but you were headed in this direction as it is. And by all accounts, it's pretty clear the ability was there for the Cowboys to pay Dak Prescott and basically save about $8 million a year had they done it at the right time. That's just remarkably silly that they didn't. And Jerry just sitting and waiting and didn't want to go over the edge for Dak because he wasn't sure that Dak was a franchise quarterback. See, here's where we all get lost, right? We talk about franchise quarterbacks. We talk about best in the sport. We talk about top five quarterbacks, all those things. Sometimes we have difficulty in separating what those things are. Dak is getting his money because of timing. Dak is getting his money because of timing. That's simply it. So you can't fault him for that. Is Dak a top five quarterback in the league? I don't think so. I don't think he's a top five quarterback in the league. There's probably seven or eight quarterbacks that you could look at and say, I'd probably rather have him. But Dak is a franchise quarterback. Sometimes we get that a little muddied. That definition of franchise and top five and top quarterback in the league gets a little bit cloudy. Well, the other reason that Dak got paid wasn't even necessarily timing or any of that. Keyshawn Johnson on KJZ gave the other reason for the Cowboys handing over the money.
Look at what happened to them. They completely fell apart because they lost their leader. This number that they're paying him is not just for his ability on the field, but it's also about his leadership. It's also about the chemistry in the locker room, how the players in the organization feel about him personally. He's the face of the franchise, but with becoming that face of the franchise, there's a lot of responsibility. And that responsibility is bringing the Lombardi Trophy back to Dallas.
Look, you can't argue that. He is a player that is respected from his teammates. He is absolutely a leader, and it's a big factor in why they wanted to hand him the money, too. It's just, it ultimately could end up hurting him that they waited so long to do it, because now you have so many other guys that you have already paid. You've already paid DeMarcus Lawrence. You've already paid Amari Cooper. You've already paid Ezekiel Elliott. For Pete's sake, they're talking about next year cutting Ezekiel Elliott and maybe getting just as much or close to just as much production from a guy like Tony Pollard as your running back. If that doesn't tell you that was a massive mistake with Elliott, I don't know what would. You look at other guys on this team, Tyron Smith, you still have a lot of restructuring to do to get anywhere this offseason to build a defense that is not porous like the one last year. So now that Dak got his money, who's next? Lamar Jackson? Josh Allen? Those are the two guys that really come to mind at this point. Now, if you're Lamar Jackson, I think you're going to have a situation with the Ravens where they're going to want to do that shorter-term deal, similar to what Dak did. Why? While the Cowboys may have wanted to do something longer with Dak, but they ended up adding a couple of dummy years and whatever to void it out and make it more cap-friendly, that's all fine. Lamar Jackson takes those hits, and he's a guy that can get more banged up because of what he brings to the game. We know the explosive aspect of his running, and we know that he has gotten better at throwing the football year in and year out. This guy is a tremendous player, and he's going to top that number, and I would think that Lamar Jackson might top that number before the end of the season. You know, before the end of the offseason, I should say. Once the Ravens figure out their entire situation, what they can and cannot do, maybe they can get a long-term deal done, but you know it's going to be north of this at this point. Josh Allen, is it the same thing? Is he the next guy, considering the massive step forward he took in year three? You know, this is not what the Eagles did with Carson Wentz, and that's what people have to realize when you're paying these guys after 3 years. This is a situation where you have seen them at the top of their game and they're coming off a year of the top of their game. Carson Wentz's best year was year two in Philadelphia before he got hurt. He was the MVP that season before he got hurt. These players, and he went into year three and wasn't nearly as good and was obviously very banged up, and the Eagles opted to pay him anyway, and now he's been shipped out and they all look silly. They have egg on their face. With these guys, with Josh Allen, with Lamar Jackson, you're not going to have egg on your face by paying them. But that shorter-term deal with Jackson, a four-year type contract, is what I would expect considering the amount of hits that Lamar Jackson takes. And then there's Russell Wilson. I'll tell you what, it's amazing the level of either stupidity or pettiness that the Seahawks went to in not including Russell Wilson in their, whether it was an e-card or whatever, letter to season ticket holders, making no mention of Russell Wilson whatsoever. So let me see. You're sending me a letter. I'm giving you my money to go watch the Seahawks, and you're not going to address the elephant in the room with my franchise's all-time greatest player. Make no mistake, he is the Seattle Seahawks' all-time greatest player, and they make no mention of him. And I understand that the situation's a little murky. That's fine. But at that point, why even send out the letter? Why not just leave the letter out of it, send out the bill, and hopefully, you know, everybody understands what the situation is. But by just avoiding sending out the letter, whether it's a letter or the Christmas card, whatever it was, you just look either petty with Wilson, you look stupid for not putting it in there, and pretending like nobody's going to notice that you don't mention him. And Wilson's teams, those four teams that Adam Schefter reported on, well, they are starting to shrink a little bit, aren't they? Because the Cowboys were one. That's obviously out the window now. The Chicago Bears are another. How exactly is that going to work? What do the Bears have to give up in order to get Russell Wilson? The Raiders? Are they going to work some sort of a three-team, four-team trade to try to make something happen and send Derek Carr somewhere like the Patriots? No. The Saints? I don't know how he's going to end up in New Orleans. And don't forget the $39 million cap hit that the Seahawks would be taking this year. All of that adds up to one thing. Russell Wilson remaining in Seattle this year, maybe something gets done next year, and it makes you look even dumber on that letter front. Wow. Wow. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is, as always, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your home, auto, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Chris Carlin in for Max Kellerman today. Coming up, I'm going to try not to laugh when I say this. Are the Cowboys, I don't even know if I can read it, are the Cowboys Super Bowl contenders? I'm trying.
You're funny, Chris.
No doubt. It's coming up next, Raj, on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. First up, though, here's good news. Even with high unemployment, there's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience, no problem. Take the free career evaluation at mycomputercareer.edu. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. No Doubt is next on the Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. The playmaker and Moose Johnson say the Cowboys. Moose Johnson say the Cowboys are Super Bowl contenders. That's amusing. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I almost just couldn't get through the sentence. Moose Johnston and the playmaker, Super Bowl contenders. Wow. Chris Carlin in for Max today. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join us on the Goodyear Hotline.
Going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think of these.
No Doubt.
Ah, yes. It is time for No Doubt. Raj Grobes setting me up earlier, as I'd had a hot take regarding the band Kiss and its massive overrated status in the pantheon of rock and roll. And I'm anxious to see what Raj is going to set me up with today.
Well, maybe we'll have some more rock and roll takes on this one. You never know. But hey, You said it. Even though the Cowboys, they got Dak Prescott, what you're telling me right now is the Cowboys still aren't Super Bowl contenders?
That's what I'm telling you. No doubt.
No doubt.
They are not Super Bowl contenders. I can think of at least three teams in the NFC that have a better chance. At least three. More like four or five. And they can't stop anyone. That's a problem, Raj. You have to be able to stop someone from scoring. Raj, they beat the Falcons last year 41-39, Raj. 41-39.
Chris, I'm trying to tell Bubba we can't score 40 points a game just to win. You got to be able to stop people.
Are you trying to be the Brooklyn Nets and score 120? I mean, come on. No Doubt.
All right. Okay, next one.
No
hey,
doubt.
Chris, happy 81st birthday to the great Chuck Norris. All right. Hear me out now. Now Chuck is 81. Now, you, Chris Carlin, you can take Chuck Norris.
Nah, bruh. Nah.
What?
Nah. No. First of all, Senor and I had a falling out. We changed dojos and he got mad at me. Secondly, I routinely, as a kid growing up, if I can say this, I got my ass kicked routinely. In my freshman year of high school, which was an all-boys Catholic high school, right in the middle of puberty, right square in the middle of Awkward City, yeah. I got in 9 fights. And it's not because I was the aggressor in any of this. I was just the easy target. I was the fat kid that you picked on.
Oh, people were just trying to pad their stats, what you meant.
Exactly. Trying to improve their resume. And I did not win many of them. I remember one that won. I might have gone 1-8. And I was big at the time, and I still went 1-8 in those fights. And the only other fight I ever had was it involved a drummer of what became a relatively well-known band in college.
Who? Talk to me. Talk to me.
I don't know if I should say the band. I mean,
come on. Kiss?
No.
They're who?
No.
They're who?
All right. It was before they were famous, the Spin Doctors.
Get out of here. You beat up a Spin Doctor.
No. No, I didn't beat him up. No.
Listen to this music. You're going to fight someone making this happy.
Well,
but music.
Here's what was so alarming about it, okay? Like, the drummer was, I'm 6 foot tall, but I'm also three bills at that point. The drummer, and still at this point, the drummer was 5'7", 145 pounds dripping wet. And I had just walked into this bar where they were playing. Before they were well-known, they were a college band. And I went up and I ordered a beer and I got my beer, or at least I thought I did. I was reaching for it and he grabbed it and he looked at me. He said, "That's my beer because I'm with the band." And I'm like, what? And I was just kind of shocked that I didn't do anything. And then he shoved me, or at least attempted to. And I threw a punch, and the punch hit him in the shoulder. And then at the end of it,
Then you opened your eyes after you threw the punch? Like, whoa,
I connected. Hey, I got him in the shoulder. And then 50 people were between us, and I got thrown out. I was in the bar literally 2 minutes. So he owes me a beer.
We have more, but that was too good of a story to pass up. I'm going to let you tease this out because you know we got our man Mike Tannenbaum coming up.
Well, college basketball is in the home stretch. Tune in. We can kill the Spin Doctors music, by the way. Tune in tonight. Little Miss can't be wrong. Little Miss owes me a beer. Tonight, for the ACC tournament, coverage begins 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Well, we have this massive contract from Dak, so how exactly is the salary cap going to be affected here in the long term over the next few years? Mike Tannenbaum, our own GM, joins us in a moment. First up, though, 30 for 30 podcast presents March 11th, 2020. The story of the day, the NBA shut down and the pandemic became real for many Americans, as told by those who lived the events of that day and built entirely with archival and exclusive interviews, including Rudy Gobert and Dr. Anthony Fauci. March 11th, 2020 will tell the story of a day that started in one reality and ended in a new one. 30 for 30 podcast presents March 11th, 2020. Subscribe and listen now wherever you get your podcasts. And one programming note, tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, Greeny will be joined by NBA Commissioner Adam Silver to relive March 11th, 2020. We talk to Mike Tannenbaum next on the Max Kellerman Show. Chris Carlin in for Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and of course on your smart speaker. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. The cap numbers in the NFL are getting very, very interesting. Mike Tannenbaum right now joins us via the Goodyear hotline. Goodyear celebrating March deal days with month-long service and savings. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for offers. Mike, it's Chris Carlin in for Max. And, you know, I heard you talk about how the Cowboys could have saved so much had they gotten this deal done a couple of years earlier. And I look at their cap number and I understand that they can restructure some guys to get some room, but it just continues to feel to me like robbing Peter to pay Paul. Am I wrong in looking at it that way?
Yeah, Chris, that's totally fair. And I think, you know, in fairness to Dallas, they're looking at this as a 5-year deal. So you go back a year ago, they paid 31, and now 4 years, you know, basically if you move the story forward and it's roughly like 160, so it's about 191 for five, which is a little over 38 a year. And, you know, from the Cowboy perspective, you have cost certainty. It's obviously a big win for Dak in terms of average per year, guarantees, cash. And now it's going to be up to Dallas to figure out, like, who to keep and who to move on from. And most importantly, try to get some of these guys to start playing a little bit better because they have a lot of holes on this team.
Yeah, Mike, it doesn't seem like this contract was a mistake at all. It seems like maybe some of the ones that were already done were a mistake. Was that fair?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, you know, signing Zeke early was unnecessary. And if they could have gotten Dak signed to a long-term deal then, I think that would have been, you know, the right thing to do. But, you know, the hay's kind of in the barn, and I wouldn't be surprised if Tony Pollard was their opening day running back, you know, a year from now in September of 2022.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, joining us right now. You know, Mike, with Jerry on the television committee, You wonder sometimes, does he know something that we don't in terms of what this new package is going to look like and what the cap is frankly going to look like in a couple of years. But I have trouble imagining that it's going to go from 182 to in two seasons from now to something like 250. Is there any way to really gauge how much this cap could go up over the next couple of years?
I think it's going to go up significantly because there's going to be new revenue, Chris, like gambling revenue. And certainly the TV deals will go up significantly. Hard to say exactly where they'll come in. So Jerry Jones certainly has more information than I do, but they will go up. And I'm sure he's planning, as you said, to kick the can down the road and reconcile the cap number, you know, later on down the road when the cap goes up.
Mike, is this going to be a new trend for quarterbacks where – they might try to get paid on shorter-term contracts so they get another bite at the apple at free agency?
You know, I think that would be good for the sport. You know, I don't think it's great that Philadelphia has a $34 million dead money charge for Carson Wentz. You know, ironically, the only person that really helps is Jeff Lurie in terms of that's $34 million he can't spend. So from a financial standpoint, it's good, but I don't think it's healthy, and I think if you do shorter-term deals, it actually benefits the players that are good as well as the team. So hopefully that's a trend we continue to see.
Who's the next to get paid, Mike? Is Josh Allen? Is it Lamar Jackson? Who would you expect to be the next in line to maybe eclipse this number we just saw with Dak Prescott?
I mean, couldn't it be like Chris Carlin taking over for like DCR in the morning for ESPN New York Radio?
I think that's highly unlikely. Yeah, cool. And plus, you'd have to pay me more than that to work with DPA.
Can we get that rumor going? Can we get that rumor going?
We can start it. I don't think it's going very far.
You know, it's one of the things I think, you know, someone like Josh Allen, if I'm Buffalo, I'm sprinting to get that deal done. Because again, if these TV deals come in where we think they might, the cap's only going to go up. And if you're Josh Allen, just like Dak Prescott, if you think about it, you know, Deshaun Watson wasn't going to take less than Wentz and Goff. Now Prescott doesn't take less than Watson. You know, Mahomes is somewhat aberrational because of the length of his deal. But it's hard for me to sit here and think that, boy, hey, you know what, Josh Allen's going to take less than Dak Prescott. So if I'm them, it's sooner than later on Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen.
Mike, you got about 2 minutes left, and I've heard you tell this story before about how you used to have one of your staffers take prospects to and from the airport to find out about that prospect, about how they treated regular people and not just the GM when you were evaluating them. When you take away the personal contact and the interaction in evaluating draft prospects and, you know, even at pro days, not being able to be up close, as a general manager, how much more uneasy would that make you when you have a particularly high pick, maybe even when you're trying to draft a quarterback?
Yeah, it's really a great point. You know, one of the best decisions I was ever a part of was when we traded up for Darrelle Revis at the Jets, and in part was how great the visit went, and he was going back to the airport, and he's talking to his mother on his phone, and all the feedback was like how nice he was, how polite he was, how respectful he was. And that's meaningful when you spend all the type of money on these players. So it would give me, you know, cause for concern, no question about it.
Mike, appreciate the time and insight as always very much.
yeah, I look forward to seeing you with Chris Kenny, and you know, maybe it's, there's a new DCR in town.
You're trying to get Dave out. You'd have to pay me a lot more to work with DiPietro. Appreciate it. Thanks very much, Mike. Mike Tannenbaum, our NFL front office insider. Chris Carlin in for Max today. He will be back tomorrow. This has been the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.